Hello, hello, everyone. I'm so excited to share with you today. I have an amazing guest here. My guest here is Sam, and she is the proud owner and creator of Matcha Nude, this incredible matcha you can use for not just tea, but for many other things. And you will see that once you follow her on Instagram. Sam, thank you so much for being here.
Oh, thanks so much for having me. I'm really excited for our chat.
Okay, so I always like to start. So I love to hear, just like share with the people like a little bit about you, who you are, what life looks like right now.
Absolutely. So I am the owner of Matcha Nude, and I also am a fertility and wellness coach. So I have had my own fertility journey that has been long, bumpy, and interesting, along with my own physical health. I live with four chronic illnesses, celiac disease, Lyme disease, endometriosis, and PCOS. And so I have really made it my mission in life to show people that they deserve to thrive and not just survive. And so I do that with both coaching, where I can meet with people one-on-one or in couples, and then through Matcha, where we can talk to a much larger audience. And I believe in progress over perfection. Perfection's an illusion, and that we all have a different journey to what healthy and well looks like in our bodies.
Oh, I love that. Yes. Amen to that last piece for sure. Okay. So beautiful, like who you are. And so tell us, I know you mainly through the Matcha Nude part there. And so I'd love for you to tell us, like, what did that journey look like? Maybe even from like, maybe even the coaching was a part of it, how you started and your own health journey. Kind of tell us how you even found matcha.
Yeah.
And then from there, like that made you even start the company.
Absolutely. So I wish I remembered like the day I sipped my first one to know that it would be such a part of my life, but I don't. I remember the day I made my first one. But yeah, so on my wellness journey, a huge part of it was teaching myself a lot of things because I was medically gaslit for so long. And so I did elimination protocols and really learned how to communicate with my own body. And on that journey, I learned gluten and dairy and sugars and how they were reacting to my body, and none of those were serving me. And then one of my last that I admitted was coffee. It was heartbreaking. I drank coffee all through college, all through grad school. I drank it morning, noon, and night. I was that person that was like, it doesn't affect me, but it started to. And it started by really hurting my gut. And then I also noticed that my anxiety was increasing. And I was like, oh, this is interesting. Oh, it's just my type A personality. That's just who I am. And then it also started to interrupt my sleep in my late 20s. And I was like, oh, this is really interesting. And so I did a lot of research, you know, just like I'm sure you've done on parts of your journey of like, is it the type of coffee? Is it how I'm brewing the coffee? Like I wanted like every possible solution to it. And so I eventually realized that it was just the coffee, and I tried to look for alternatives, and I had a really hard time finding an alternative that like met my standards in ingredients, but also in the like the experience of drinking coffee. So it's a social experience. It's a cultural experience. It's cozy. It's, you can do so many things with coffee. And so matcha was the first thing that I landed on that like it held on to all of those pieces. I could have it warm and cozy in a mug. I could enjoy it with someone. I could get it at a coffee shop. I could make all the fun recipes with it. And so that was the first one. But then I also started to realize like how much better I felt. And so like I had gone the Dandy Blend route, and I don't know if you know this, Dandy Blend has chicory root. Chicory root can be really sensitive to people's stomachs. And so that made me sick. I tried like, you know, mud water, and I have a place in my heart for it, but it settles in that mug so fast. And I'm not someone that wants to drink my drink fast. And so matcha was the first one that met all my desires, but it also had all those antioxidants. It had, you know, which is 10 times more than blueberries. It had L-theanine, which allowed my body to relax, help with any anxious energy or stress. And my gut started to get better. My mental health started to get better. And I was like, oh, like this is another area of my life where like I can thrive instead of just survive.
Oh my gosh. So good. Thank you for walking us through like really what that looks like. I even wanted to like pull from there just to help people maybe when they're trying to listen to their bodies and like recognize, like, could this apply to me? Is this something I should look into? Like, let me try and see if this fits me too.
Yeah.
Cause you said it a couple times even was like, you notice gut issues.
Yeah.
And then you notice it on the other end. So tell us a little bit, like, what were the gut issues? Like, tell us, fill us in a little bit more on what that looked like. And maybe someone could relate and be like, oh, that is.
Yeah, definitely. So some people drink coffee because it helps them have bowel movements, right? And so it definitely was helping, but it was helping too much. It resulted in diarrhea a lot. It resulted in a very angry stomach. And so it would sometimes come on really quickly and I would like be running to the bathroom, and other times it would just come on and be painful. And so, I mean, we've all had those episodes, I'm sure, with certain foods that just trigger our bodies. And so that would happen, but then sometimes it would cause constipation. It caused just a lot of discomfort in my belly. It would cause bloating pretty quickly. And so it was like every gut experience I think you can experience. It was all of that. And then with matcha, I started having normal bowel movements without constipation or diarrhea, but that were like soft and easy to pass. And the shape was, you know, banana shape, you know, like Bristol stool chart. It was like sweet spot there. And it was much easier to have a bowel movement. It was no longer painful in either direction.
Awesome. And I feel like the bloating is a big one there too, where it's like, that comes up. Because I feel like bloating for so many, you hear that all the time. Like I've experienced this. I feel like, especially as women, like around our hormones, it's such a big thing. So that too, I'm curious, did that also go down? Did you notice a big difference with that?
Oh, huge. Yeah. Like it was, so, you know, obviously the other foods I had stopped avoiding were bloating me more, but it was like, oh, there's still something, you know, and it was coffee. And what was really amazing was that matcha really just addressed that. You know, it has all those antioxidants, which was addressing the inflammation in my body. It has, you know, the L-theanine that was addressing the stress in my body. And so I just noticed this change, and it didn't happen like overnight, but now if I have like even a black tea, I'm like, oh, I don't like how this makes me feel. I'm usually running to the bathroom. I'm usually feeling really frantic in my brain. I usually don't feel well for a little while afterwards, even though I love the taste of it. You know, it's become a not worth it food.
Yeah. And I'm kind of curious, even to you saying that, like, what do you think from that time you kind of first let go of coffee for real, and the other alternative things, and you got to matcha?
Yeah.
Like, I'm sure there was even a first time difference, and like, oh, this is different. But then to really be like, holy crap, matcha, if I drink matcha on a more day-to-day basis and not the coffee, like, was that maybe a week, a 2 week, a 3 month where you were like, I feel amazing. Kind of like someone's weight loss journey where they're like, yeah, the first week or two, you're kind of maybe, but yeah. What did that time-wise look like, just to give someone like, oh, this is when you could start feeling this?
Pretty quick. So the gut issues, I would say, resolved themselves within a week. So like I just, you know, cause it was mostly triggered by actually consuming it. It wasn't like, some other foods where it's like a lingering effect. I'm sure there was a lingering effect, but, usually it was kind of like an instant, like you feel it, you have the rush to the bathroom and the bloating, and then you like overcome at some point in the day, as long as you're not drinking it all day, like I used to. And I used to not feel that way. You know, it's like your body puts up with your shit for so long, and then it's like, hey, red flag, we're over this. And so that's where I really feel like I landed, as my body was like, we can't handle this anymore. And my breakup with coffee was an instant. And so it was a very long journey. I didn't want to admit it. And so it wasn't until, I think it was about almost 4 years ago now, that was like my last coffee. And I remember it was a Cubanito, which is a little coffee that they sell at Le Bon Coffee here in Asheville. It was super delicious. And I was like, this is it. This is the last one. And it definitely wasn't worth it. I remember getting sick within like 20 minutes of drinking it. And then when I just started drinking matcha, I was like, I'm not having these moments to rush to the bathroom. I am having these healthy bowel movements. I don't think it was until probably maybe a month later that I started to notice like the anxiety reduced. And about the same time, probably for the sleep, but the gut issues were like within that week.
Mm. Ooh, okay. I've got some like pretty bows to put on this right here because I just want everyone to hear that first and foremost is like with you making that change. And yes, you're right. There are some things that are going to linger and take a little bit longer for our bodies to adjust and adapt. But overall, our freaking bodies are amazing.
Amazing.
And so just whether it's you're switching to matcha, coffee to matcha or whatever to matcha, if you're, you know, maybe taking away dairy, if somebody's trying to add more veggies in or take away this or add like 1 week, like, and I think we all know that. And like, we could probably find the research and the studies even on like, I've even heard like the 3 days.
Yeah.
But the difference, like, I think in our brains, and just how we're wired, right? It's like, oh God, this is going to take so much effort and this is going to be so hard and this is going to be for the rest of my life. Like it goes dramatic. Like, and it's like, it's just 1 week and you will feel the difference, like a day to night difference from making such a simple change. It was one thing. Yeah. It was one thing at that point.
Yeah.
Versus trying to do maybe a whole overhaul. Like, let me change my whole diet and add in water and add in matcha. And, you know, like you could do one thing and within 1 week, you could have a dramatic different experience in your body.
Absolutely. It's so true. You know, I gave up gluten in 2007 and within a month I lost 30 pounds in 2 shoe sizes. And I started feeling great like immediately. I remember they were like, oh, we want to do a celiac test for you, a different version of a celiac test. I'd done one, but you need to start eating gluten again. And I was like, there is not a world where I put that back in my body. But it was such a quick relief for me. And I think what happens a lot, and I would love to know if you experience this with the people you work with, is like, they think it's going to be so hard. Like, and I've been part of this too. You know, we think it's going to be so hard that when we have that one temptation, we're just like, oh, I can't do it anyways. Instead of realizing that like, you deserve to feel great in your body. You deserve to have the knowledge to know what serves you and helps you live your best life. And you deserve to live that life. And so the only person that's winning when you give up because you saw pizza on a menu or you gave up because someone brought you a coffee, like you're only doing that. You're only hurting yourself. And you're only feeding our diet culture and it's not helping anybody. And so like you have the resiliency to be like, hey, I can live a better life and I can do it by realizing like what serves me and what doesn't.
I think, well, I'm like, I could go down a whole rabbit hole of like, that's what the power of coaching does, right? Is like, it's, I'm not saying like making a change it's just easy. Like we just snap our fingers like that. I just want everyone to see, I think the possibility of what's possible. I think there's a lot of tools that I use with my clients and using coaching that we have to figure out who that person is, what that works for you. And there's a lot of tools to be able to get there and make it feel doable and easy. I think that question though, that you just shared, just, I was actually coaching all day before this and it's come up multiple times today. And in general, well, one, I think like awareness is just like a superhero power where most of us just meow, like are just going 90 miles an hour in life and in the day-to-day routines and the grind that we don't pause for a second to even be aware of our bodies and how they're feeling or aware of the choices we're making. We're just on, and our brains want that. Our brains are like, give me the safety zone and not change anything. Don't ever change anything. Exactly. And so by bringing awareness to anything and especially to your body and to start to ask that question, I think that's a great question to open that superpower is what, well, you said what serves me. It could be that, or it could be, what do I really want?
Yeah.
Like, what do I really want right now? And by asking that question, most of us can be like, I actually really want a nap. I'm fucking tired. like, okay. Or maybe like, I really want a warm beverage. Like it didn't have to be coffee, but like, I just want something warm right now and cozy. Or I'm bored. What do I like? we start to become, or we're like, what do I really want? I want to feel better. Yeah. And this XYZ thing doesn't make me feel better. So what do I really need or want? We start to ask questions. I think that is like, oh, that's like one of the first superpowers that anyone could use to start to like,
yeah. And I think that we often never ask ourselves that question. You know, like one of my favorite things when I talk to clients, so a lot of people on the fertility journey are assessing their relationship with caffeine. And so we often do talk about coffee, but we also talk about like the toxicity of some coffee. And so I'm not trying to push them all onto matcha, but I like to have this conversation about like, well, did you ever make the conscious decision to start drinking coffee? And I have yet to meet a person that was like, oh yeah, I was, you know, in high school and I was like, I'm going to drink this coffee because I think it tastes great. It's because you saw adults do it, that it's part of adulting. America runs on Dunkin'. The best part of waking up is Folgers in your cup. Like it has been thrown at us our entire lives. And so it's just part of growing up and we need it, right? And so no one's questioned it. And when someone finally puts it in front of you to be like, well, do you? You know, most people, because again, their brains, your brain wants to be on autopilot. Like, it's like, well, yeah, I do. And it's like, well, what would it feel like if that, you know, 2 o'clock coffee you got every day was something that didn't give you more anxiety and didn't keep you up at night? Like, what would that mean for your life? What if you went to bed at 9 o'clock and could fall asleep?
Yeah, that's so good, right? I love the way you put that. And it's like, I've been working with a lot of clients on alcohol use too, which it's the exact same thing where it's like our culture, everything we freaking do revolves around have a drink to celebrate, have a drink for this birthday, have a drink at the soup. I mean, like with your boys, like everything is around drinking. And it's like, well, hold on a second. Do you know we don't actually have to do this?
Exactly. I have the same conversations too with alcohol, and I also like use matcha as a mocktail, get a good kombucha, like get creative, right? There's so many things you can do. And it's really funny too, because people think like, oh, well, I can't have the life I have if I remove this piece. And it's like, if you remove the gluten, if you remove the dairy, the alcohol, the coffee, whatever it is that you're doing to elevate your life, because it's a choice that you're making and something that you want, you can still have everything else you love around it. It can coexist.
Oh my gosh. Amen to that. I want to go on that one real quick too, because I was literally just coaching on this and we were talking about other options that would still feel special around alcohol. Like you said, you can make this. I'm like, ooh, what's that kombucha mocktail recipe you got over there? Or some sparkling water, like a Pellegrino bottle, like something that felt really special. And I was like, it doesn't just have to be about the beverage itself, but it's like when we like living your life, like what is so special about the experience you're in, the people you're with, the environment you're around? All of a sudden, it doesn't just become about like the drink is the special thing about this, like us having drinks together. It's about the whole people and experience from where you're at, who you're with. And that's the special thing about it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
So good. Okay. There was a couple other things from even your journey there that you shared that I also wanted to like call out. And that was, well, one, the specifically from the matcha to like having your last cup of coffee. You said it was 4 years. Mm-hmm. And so for people to like also hear that and know, well, one, you could also choose to never give up coffee, right? Yeah, like maybe there's a part or a place for it. Just like sometimes people with alcohol will be like, well, once in a great while I'll have one. But overall, like you had such grace and space for what that looked like. You did not go, like, I just feel like so many people are like, well, no more sugar, no more drinking, no more coffee. Like, they're just so like dogmatic about just this all or nothing thinking. And when we can open up this beautiful space and grace, like you did, for allowing just like step by step the journey to unfold until you felt ready and you Oh, it almost gives me goosebumps to think about. Like, I can imagine, and I know when I've had those feelings, like, you will know it if that time comes, or you will just know what that journey looks like versus putting a hard and fast boundary of like restriction around it. We all know we will freaking rebel. Like, so that I really like any thoughts on that too, but I was like, just see how like there isn't an all or nothing way here. Really held that.
Yes. It was just a lot of compassion for myself. I did a similar thing with dairy. So I don't eat gluten, dairy, and I don't drink coffee. And so gluten was a pretty instant, as I mentioned, and it was because it was having like such a traumatic experience for me. I'd been sick so long. And it was just like, that was like, oh, instant, like, oh, this is not worth it. With dairy, I would like get sick sometimes and not other times. And I was like, oh, lactose intolerance versus lactose allergy versus lactose sensitivity. You know, it was like, I was playing this game and I was trying to be like, is it the type of dairy? Is it the quality? Is it, you know, where I'm sourcing it from? And I didn't want to give it up. And, you know, that was in 2007 too, where like the alternatives weren't really rich yet. And so it took for me again, having that like aha moment of like, the risk is not worth it anymore. Like how I'm feeling and how this can completely ruin a moment for me. Like that's not worth it. And it was very similar with the coffee. It's like, so I can have a great day and I can feel great all day and I cannot experience constipation, diarrhea, bloating, this, you know, racing mind. And I can like operate and feel great and have the energy that I need, you know, have enough caffeine that I feel good, but not enough that it's hurting me. I can also then go have a great night's sleep. And it was the like taking inventory of like what was added to my life from this choice. Instead of thinking about what like I'm taking out, like thinking about what was added if I did this. And that's when I became like drinking it less and less and less. It wasn't like a switch of like, you know, with gluten, it wasn't like you know, 100% to zero. It was like, all right, so now I'm going to drink coffee like just when I'm traveling, which then I was like, why am I going to do that? I'm going to ruin my travel experience, you know? And then I was like, oh, well, just every now and then if I'm at a really good coffee shop, and then I'd be like, I got sick again. And so it was just like inventorying my body and inventorying what was added when I didn't have it.
Oh, I love that. I love that. Y'all take that away. Like when you need to evaluate, our brains usually go to that negative of like, oh, I'm missing out. I'm taking out. And it's like, hold on a second. You just named a ton of things that were added to your life by not having that, by a conscious choice of not having that.
Right. We want to go to the deprivation of like what we don't have, you know? Yeah. And it's like, well, you know, maybe I'm not drinking Dunkin' like everyone else, but maybe I feel better in my body and I can go and meet you for a walk.
Yeah. I think from that too, and something I'd already made a note of that kind of goes right along with that is like, for anybody, I feel like a kind of takeaway here too is like, whether it's for coffee or for dairy or for weight loss or performance in athletic goals, like whatever it is like, we all get to check in. Like, I don't get anxiety with coffee. So that's not a problem for me. I don't have that thing to check in on. I don't have the same like bowel movement issues. Like I feel good. I feel some bloating though. So it's like checking in with like what's coming up for like, so for some people it's like, well, maybe you don't have any issues with coffee or not nearly enough to be like, this is something I want to solve or whatever that is. But to really, I feel like have this like checklist of check-in, like what is causing you XYZ symptoms that you want to look at. I don't know too. I'm just like curious, like even with your coaching or clients, like, or even from your journey, like, do you think, is there like kind of a checklist or a way of like someone you would recommend for them to like, this is like how you check in with like, all right, I've been feeling XYZ for a while. Like, this is not just like, well, let's just keep going.
Absolutely. So what I do with my clients, I think is just a little bit more structured than what I do with myself. And it really is like looking at your life as like a whole picture. And like, I use actually like a circle of life graphic with my clients. And it's like talking about the major areas in your life, like your health, your career, your creativity, your spirituality, you know, all those areas, your relationships, and kind of like taking inventory. Like, how are all these areas of my life doing right now? And it's not where you think they should be or they're supposed to be. That's shame language. We don't do that, right? We notice Amen. That. Yeah, we notice that. We call that out and we put it down. But like, where, like, how are you actually feeling? Like, what is your satisfaction with these areas? And I do this with every client in the beginning of our time together and towards the end of our time together. And the reason for it is to show them like what happens when you actually start like concentrating on these things. One of them is joy. And some people will be like, can't even tell me two things that bring them joy. And so then the assignment is, all right, over the next month, I want you to make a list of 10 things that bring you joy. And I want it posted on your refrigerator so you see it all the time. Because it's so easy as we grow up into adulthood to like forget what brought us joy, forget what made us happy, you know, and think all or nothing thinking. And so that's what I do, is like look at our whole life as a picture and what areas are we thriving and what areas are just not quite there yet. Mm-hmm. Or like mm-hmm. not in this season. Cause sometimes it's just for a season, right? Right. And being able to say, well, where do I want to put my energy with that? You know, so I had someone just last week message me. They never had a negative experience with coffee, but they knew that they wanted to put something in their body that had more benefits, right? And so like, there's not a lot that coffee is adding to your life other than, you know, the cultural or social experience or that, you know, how it makes you feel, which is valid enough. But some people are like, hey, I want to add something that has vitamins, minerals, you know, amino acids, antioxidants. And so she just started drinking coffee. She started drinking matcha. She started drinking matcha and she ran out and she just grabbed a coffee. And I think she'd been doing it for like a couple months. Like it was a routine now. And she drank the coffee and she was like, oh my God. Like I hadn't known that coffee was doing all of this to me. I was so desensitized to it. But now I just had one cup and I'm just like, I don't like how I feel now. Right. And it was like what you were saying earlier about being on autopilot again. But it's also because your body doesn't want you to suffer. It doesn't want you to feel all the pain that you're feeling. So sometimes it hides symptoms from you. And so being able to recognize like, all right, are you living to your values? Are you living to your beliefs? Not what you think you should or supposed to. Where do you need to put your energy and then make decisions around that?
Oh, I love that. That's just like a really quick, quote unquote, like the prompts that anyone could use, like take that and like kind of journal through it on your own and see like what comes up. Yeah. Okay. And of course I'm like, this is like, you just kind of heard Sam say, like, this is the power of coaching though, is because most of us will not actually slow down to do that work, or it's just natural for our brains to like want to stay on the autopilot. And it's kind of like, I think of sometimes even like in our relationships when we get like defensive and we're like, oh no. And it's like, oh shit. Oh shit. No, actually that was my bad. Like, but until we get called out, like we might in our relationships, we don't call ourselves out. We can't see our own shit. Yeah. Essentially. So like that's the power of a coach, is like to prompt and ask the questions and dig deeper and layer through and be like, oh my, I mean, I can't, you too. I'm like, I can't tell you the number of times, even in a 30-minute call and a conversation.
Yeah.
Where they're like, I'm like this stuck and this going on. I'm like, what? And I ask the question. And like, there's literally a pause on the phone in the conversation. And it's like, you could tell their brain just broke. And it was like, oh shit. Like I've never heard that. I've never even thought of that.
Yeah.
So it's good you guys have this, but also like, this is the beautiful power of coaching. So it's so good.
I also, do you ever do like next level self journaling? Have you ever done that with people?
I don't know what that is specifically. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I think that like when someone's on the healing journey and they're like, they're willing to have these conversations, because some people, they come to coaching or they come to a new product or a new chapter in their life and they're curious, but they're not quite like fully, like they're dipping their toes, right? So this isn't necessarily for your toe dipping person. This is for your person that's ready to jump. And it is literally looking at every aspect of your life and think about like, where do you want to go with this? And so like, asking yourself questions in a journal or out to yourself on a walk or in your, you know, meditation, if you need to have an active, like, you know, activity for yourself during that time, like in your next level version of yourself, like, what do you wear?
Where do you work? Yeah.
What do you drive? What are you eating? How do you feel? Who do you spend time with? You know, like all of those questions that really go into like the nitty gritty of your life. And I did it with someone recently and she's like, why are we doing this? Like she was just like, didn't understand it. But it was like, she's at a point where she needs to make some decisions. And she was hesitating on making some of those decisions because she hadn't really been asked, like, where do you want to go next?
Oh my gosh. Yes. Right. And to the point of like, I can't, it's a little hard for me because I'm like, I have always been like so driven and such a goal getter. I'm like, if there's ever not a goal on my plate, somebody call 911 or something because like something's wrong. Yeah. Even if it's not a athletic, you know, some race or something goal, but like there's never not a point where I don't have one. But you're right. I've heard that like so many people just don't even explore where the heck that next level is for them or where they're going, or it feels like so out of touch that like they don't even allow themselves to even dream a little teeny baby bit. Exactly. Yes, I love that. I call that like Sam 2.0.
Yeah, or exactly.
Like that 2.0 version of yourself, like walking through that. Yeah, it's so good. Okay, we're going to get into their matcha stuff soon, but I have one more takeaway I have here. It's like the journey from A to Z. Like overall, I heard you say multiple times, just your whole health journey that led you to here is like, even from the gluten and then the dairy and then the coffee and the matcha and then like, and the multiple things that you trialed and error and experimented with each one of those, plus the ones we don't even know about. Like we, you know, I mean, like you said, your fertility journey, like we could probably talk about that for an hour, right? Like through your journey, it has been an absolute like scientific experiment. Like you're your own little Einstein for Sam, an N of one. And it didn't happen overnight. You found one thing at a time, and each of those things took an amount of time and trial and error. And I just really wanted to like point that out for everyone to see, because again, I think we are always, and I'll even have clients say, you know, like, I want to know what to eat and like what workouts to do. And like, just tell me what to do. Yeah. And it's like, I can't, I've got guidelines, right? I've got strategy from all the coaching that I do in health and life, but I don't know your life the best. No. I don't know your body your best. You do. And to also just allow for the experimentation, the only way you got to where you are today was by fucking failing, face planning over and over and over with all, I'm sure, many different matchas along the way too, right? Like all the different dairy alternatives and the coffee. Mm-hmm. I mean, I like am literally like having this visualization right now of like probably the amount of X's of what didn't work. Yeah. Like that, 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 that. And then, oh, finally, there's the green one at the end of 100 X's that didn't work for each area. So just like, yes, I feel like that is so like, can we all just, you know, see that? Like, that's the way it actually works.
I always like to say, like, I can help you get there faster than I did, but it's still a journey, right? Yes. Like, I'm in this work and I, you know, own Matcha Nude and I coach because I do believe that you deserve to get there faster, but I can't do it for you. You have to show up and you have to be willing to, I say you're not going to fail unless you give up, right? But you're going to fall. Just like a kid when they're learning how to walk, you know, or do anything that kids learn how to do that you once learned how to do. And so it's, you know, it is going to take time and patience. And also our bodies are so complex. Our minds are complex. When you unlayer something, something else might pop up. Yes. What is this? Right. And like that can be jarring, but it's also like, it's part of the journey. Healing isn't linear. You know, as cliche as that may sound, it's not. And it's not even like, you know, this, like, I've seen some people be more like hiking version with it, like going up a mountain with valleys. But I actually think healing is like a kid's scribble drawing. Like, you never know where you're going to be and it's never over. But like, what you can decide is that, like, again, like, you deserve to thrive. You deserve to live your best life and you're going to show up and you're going to build the toolbox to be able to handle whatever comes up next.
Yes. Oh, so good. So good. Okay. So let's move from you've now discovered matcha and it's most amazing thing. You're feeling good.
Yeah.
So now what had you decide to actually not just drink matcha, but start your company?
Yeah. So there's so many different grades of matcha, quality, growing regions, ingredients added, all of that stuff. And I was realizing that like there wasn't enough consistency. I would get one matcha and it would taste super delicious, but it would be wicked expensive. The next matcha would be cheap and gross. But then like there sometimes I would buy something cheap and it would be great. Sometimes I'd buy something expensive and it would be awful. And some things had added sugars or other additives and some didn't have any. And some blended well and some didn't. It was like this very dramatic. It was like looking at bread in the store. You're just like, how can there be so many options for this one thing? Like, it doesn't make sense. And so I dove into it. And I also was getting annoyed that like, I was like collecting tins. A lot of them come in tins. Mm. And it's like all these tins. And I'm pretty eco-conscious. And so I was on the search for a company that aligned with my values. And it was really hard to find. And I actually wasn't the original founder of Matcha Nude. Matcha Nude was owned by a friend of mine in Banff, Canada. She was doing farmers markets with it. Her name is Amelia. We connected through social media. And pretty much she was looking for exactly what I was looking for. And she had started it right when we connected. And so an ethical, sustainable, delicious, and affordable matcha. And she started sending me some and I started doing social media. I fell in love with it. And she realized she actually pitched it to me twice to buy the company. And the first time I was like, good luck finding your buyer. I was like, that's not me. And then the second time I was like, well, wait a second. Like, she's not interested in growing it and doing it with what I see the vision. She's just going to do farmers markets and sell matcha donuts. Like, I want to go to coffee shops and talk about like why this one is better for your customers and you're going to sell more of it and they're going to feel better. And so I bought the name and the website from her. And then I took on some of the basics, like what the packaging she had, but I changed suppliers. And I now am changing like even the bags and everything like that. And so it started off as a necessity to find a product. And, you know, a friend did it. And then I was buying it from her. And then she wasn't going to grow it. And I decided to grow it and to show the world that ethical, sustainable, delicious, and affordable matcha is an option.
Amazing. Oh my gosh. I love that. Like how that just kind of fell into like, you know, it wasn't like something you were looking for or even had thoughts probably 5 years ago, you're going to be the matcha girl, you know, like,
no idea.
And here you are and you're absolutely crushing it. And you're so welcome. And I kind of want to like share a little bit more about matcha because I learned so much. Like, I think most people, and I don't know, I'm just like generalizing here, but like, I feel like it is more coffee, right? It's like out there. And to be honest, like in your experience, I had tried matcha, like, I don't know, in something. And I'm like, I kind of think it was like grass eating, like it wasn't maybe that great. And so I didn't really know how to use it exactly, or the kind that I was using didn't taste great. So of course I didn't want to buy it or use it again. And so maybe people have had these different experiences and you are so good at like myth busting and like being like, over here, yeah, this is, you know, like it can be better. Okay. So first, like, maybe just like tell us, you, I talked to it before, but like, kind of just tell us what is matcha, maybe like quite literally. And then what are, maybe let's just start, like, what are all the different ways you could use it? Like, what does that actually look like?
Absolutely. So matcha is a powdered green tea grown intentionally. If you're getting it in a tea bag, they're just selling you green tea and calling it matcha because matcha is trendy. So matcha is a powdered green tea. That's important. And it has 10 times more antioxidants and 10 times more nutritional value than regular green tea because it is a powder and you're consuming it. So you're not just going to be steeping it like regular tea. You're actually going to be dissolving it and consuming the entire plant. And so that's the biggest difference. And that's why you can do so much more with it than you can do with regular teas, is because you can cook with it, bake with it, make hot drinks, cold drinks, smoothies, face masks. Like it's truly endless. And then the biggest things that are going to make different qualities of matcha is the growing region. So ours is grown next to an active volcano in Japan, where it's been grown since 1100. The volcanic ash also cleans and feeds the soil. And so there's no heavy metals or toxins in our soil, and there's none in the matcha. And so you may have heard, you know, especially in Chinese teas, it's very common to have heavy metals or toxins in it. So ours is third party tested, and it always comes back at least 10 times lower than Prop 65 standards out of California, which are some of the strictest. Then it's the tea masters. Our tea masters have been doing it for a very, very long time, I believe over 70 years. And we are using premium grade matcha. So there is ceremonial to culinary, and premium's in the middle. Ceremonial is what is being marketed as like the top matcha. Unfortunately, it is not regulated. And so other people can say it's ceremonial even when it's not. From our farm, what it means is ceremonial is the first harvest, and then premium grade is the next, and then culinary is the last. And so culinary is usually when you see like a darker matcha. Ours is a vibrant, bright green. The color of our logo is inspired by the color of our matcha. Like that was literally like picked. Like here's the matcha, let's pick that color. So you want your matcha to be vibrant and bright and beautiful. And so culinary matcha doesn't have the same nutritional value and is gonna taste bitter. Ceremonial matcha can taste grassy, but also if they're using too much matcha, they're using the wrong temperature water, like all of those things are going to really impact the flavor. So with our matcha, you need just half of a teaspoon to make an 8 to 12 ounce drink. And I've walked into restaurants before or talked to people on social and they're using like 2 tablespoons.
Ooh.
Yeah. So it's going to taste gross.
Yeah. Ooh, yeah. Okay. So that was like the first myth bust there. I love that. Thank you for sharing all that. I think honestly, even, and like, I've heard you share some of this stuff, but I think just hearing that, I'm ready to have a cup of matcha right now, 10 times the antioxidants and vitamins, like, amen. Yeah. And I love you sharing all the different ways, and you guys will see it again on our Instagram, but like, there's just so many different ways. Okay. So actually, before we bust some myths, what are some of your favorite ways, or maybe even some of your like people that are like, you know, longtime buyers, like what are some of the favorite ways you feel like maybe top three to like enjoy matcha?
Oh yeah. So for drink recipes, the cinnamon matcha latte and the matcha lemonade are definitely our two most popular. So for your hot matcha lovers and your cold matcha babes, those are our most popular, but we have so many. I'm drinking rose matcha lattes these days. And so yeah, there's endless there. It's really easy to cook with and bake with. And so like it's in a lot of cookie recipes, a lot of cakes. We have a lot of those online too, but just like adding it to overnight oats or chia seed pudding, a lot of our recipes are going to be health conscious and ingredient conscious because I'm a health and wellness coach. And so I'm going to have that little hat on. And yeah, we do weird things like bone broth matcha latte, you know, be trendy. But yeah, so I think those are some of the, like the most common ones that you'll see right now. Like we did a Grinch cookie at Christmas time. Matcha marshmallows are really, really common because, you know, if you're making them non-vegan, they can be packed with some good gelatin and they're really easy to make. I actually came up with the recipe with my niece last summer and we made matcha s'mores and they were divine. And I've just seen a lot of people playing with them and making them, but definitely the iced and hot matcha lattes, just basic, are the most popular.
Yeah, great. I was just thinking too, just probably for a lot of the people listening, it's like, I'm like, I would love to make the s'mores and the things, and I do love to bake sometimes, but I'm like, your girl's just like, you know, get it and go. Yeah. I feel like that'll be a lot. Like, how do I make this the easiest possible for like busy life?
Oh, I teach that.
Yeah. And I love too that you said that, like, obvious, like you're the health coach too. So like, you're going to make healthy conscious recipes, but I just really love pointing that out because like, I hate it when I go to a coffee shop or a smoothie place or, you know, people are like, smoothie means it's healthy for you. or a matcha latte because it's got a dash of matcha in it. It's healthy. And it's like, hold the phone here. People can, there's so much sugar, so much crap that can be put in that. Mm-hmm. So I really love that, like when you're speaking to it and when you see Sam's recipes, like these are health wellness coach certified recipes. Like this is not a bunch of sugar. Oh, and then there's some matcha there too.
Yeah.
So, yes.
Like, we do occasionally have desserts, but we definitely are like, we're moving towards like making sure like they're gluten and dairy free and that they're using like a sustainable sugar. Like every now and then you might see something, but it's not the common, and there's no matcha added. I mean, no sugar added to our matcha. So if you went to Starbucks and had a matcha and you were like, oh my God, this was so gross, I didn't like it. Well, there's 32 grams of sugar in their medium matcha. And so you're getting way more sugar than matcha, which is totally going to give you a sugar rush, which you're going to think is a caffeine rush. And it's also going to make it taste kind of crappy. And so like, that is not going to be what you experience with a high quality matcha.
Okay. I love that already. Like pointing that out, like that boom, like myth bust there. Okay. Tell us some other maybe myth bust things about matcha where like, you know, you've heard people say enough times, like the bitterness part or, you know, any of those myths you want to bust around matcha.
Absolutely. Some people think matcha has way more caffeine. It doesn't. Ours only has 23 milligrams. Coffee has between 95 and 150. Matcha also has that L-theanine I mentioned earlier. And so you don't get a crash or the jitters from it like you do from coffee. Coffee is going to last in your body from about 1 to 3 hours of actually like sustained, like feeling like you're, you know, awake and alert. But you're also going to get that, you know, anxiousness of like, usually sometimes in some people, it might just be like fast, your brain's going faster. But in some people, it's going to be straight up anxiousness. Matcha isn't going to do that because the L-theanine is going to take that little bit of caffeine and stretch it out. And so it gives you a more calm experience. And so that's a huge one. Also, we talked about the flavor. It can be, it shouldn't be bitter. It shouldn't be grassy, fishy, mossy. If it is, either you didn't find the recipe for you, it's not good quality matcha, or it's not being prepared properly. And we have videos and resources for all of that. And so that's a really common one. A lot of people think it's going to be really hard to make. I also felt that way in the beginning. I was so stressed out. I was standing in the house I lived in before this. I was standing in the kitchen watching YouTube videos about how to whisk it with that bamboo whisk. And I was like, am I doing it right? Oh my gosh, you can make it in a blender. Like, you know, it can be so simple. You can make your iced matcha latte ahead for the week, keep it in a jug in your fridge and give it a shake and pour. You can use an electric milk frother and have it done faster than you've ever made a cup of coffee. And so it doesn't have to be complicated. It can be super easy. I usually make my matcha latte like running to, you know, my first call of the day with less than 5 minutes. And so like, it doesn't have to be fancy. It can be, you can make it a whole ritual. And I'll show you how to do that too, but maybe reserve that for like your Sunday morning, right? So I think those are probably the most common ones.
Oh, amazing. I'm so glad you shared that to be like, oh, maybe there's all these ways you can try it and enjoy it. And to also know, like me, where I had tried it before and it wasn't that great experience. But then when I heard from you and I was like, oh, there's all these different ways that could have been happening that led to that. And there is a way to enjoy it. So good. And then I'm even curious, like for someone who's never had matcha before, and like you share a little bit about caffeine, so we know it has a little bit, but like when you kind of typically use matcha or when you see, like, is it like, do you have it then for your morning, you know, that coffee time, you might have a cup and then maybe in the afternoon, is it like what is using it actually? Is it like a once a day, just like someone would have coffee? What does that kind of look like?
Yeah. So most people I know were drinking coffee more than once a day. And so I definitely recommend, like, if you're not going to give up your coffee, not interested, or like feel way too far from that, maybe replace it in your afternoon because it has less caffeine. It's going to be kinder to your body, support your evening routine, all of that. Again, because it only has 23 milligrams, like you can have 4 or 5 of them and you're still not at that coffee. And so it really depends on your body. I usually drink between, I would say on an average day 2, and then occasionally 3 if I'm having like a long day. I'm a grandma. I want to be in bed by 9. And so if someone's like, you need to be out past 9, I'm like, all right, that's a 3 matcha day. But usually it's 2. I don't need them though. That's like the check-in. Like I have one, I feel really good. And if I don't have one in the morning because I was really running late, like I will be okay. I'm not going to have this massive withdrawal like you can sometimes have from coffee. And so, yeah, you can drink as many as you want. It's really hard to drink too many, but one is sufficient to help most people keep their body going.
Ooh, amazing. Yeah. And because I was just thinking of even like the health benefits, it's like, I feel like one a day would probably be a good way to get those health benefits in. And if you want to drink more because you want a little boost or you enjoy it, go on ahead.
Yeah, definitely. And you're, and if you're like, hey, I'm just going to drink it a couple times a week, like every time you drink it, you're adding value, you know, like it's one of those things, again, like focus on what you can add to your life instead of what you're trying to remove.
So good. Okay. I love that too. It's like, okay, you can just, and it's such the color of it. If you guys have not seen this before, like it is, when you were even describing this, this beautiful, vibrant green. And I think I like to think about anything like with our healthy choices. When you think about, if you were just had a table full of food in front of you, it's like, I think we would all pretty much know, like if it's got this vibrant, like vivacious color to it, we'd be like, that one's healthy. So it's like, right. Like the health benefits, and most of us could probably use some more green in our diets in our life.
A good amount of us for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So good. Oh my gosh. So I feel like we've got good stuff covered here. So I for sure want you to be able to share where everyone can find you and get to know matcha and you. And also though, like, is there anything I didn't ask, we didn't cover that you want to share here, like totally open space?
I just think again, like don't feel like you have to stay stuck if you feel stuck in any area of your life. Like you deserve to feel great. You deserve to thrive and you are worthy of it. And so go get it.
Ooh.
Yeah, we're here for you if you need it. We're here to be your cheerleaders, to hold your hand, to help you get out of that cycle, whatever it is. But like whenever one of us does this, whenever one of us decides like, I'm going to live the life that is meant for me, we are showing others that it's okay to do that too. And that even that it's possible. And then it sends a ripple through our world. Like when you were talking about, you know, your client earlier talking about alcohol use, the more people that are questioning our culture of alcohol, our culture of coffee, our culture with certain, you know, fast foods and, you know, making things easy, like the more that's questioned, the more easier it becomes for everyone else. Right. And so like whenever you make that decision, you never know who's watching, you never know who you're impacting. And it's the most selfless thing you can do, even though you might feel like it's the most selfish.
Oh my gosh, that was so great and powerful. And I'm so glad you said that, like such a mic drop to end on. But that, like, that was literally one of the other conversations with another client today, was like, she chose not to drink at an event that was all around drinking. Every single friend was going to drink. And she chose not to, and chose to share her story of why she wasn't and her journey this far. And literally like 3 other women, the whole room was like in her hands, like, mm-hmm. like, oh God, I could do that too. Or maybe I want to check in, like, wow. And she had messages within the next 24, 48 hours of her friends being like, I never even thought about that or questioned it. And to just know, like, and that was her thought too, was like, I thought she was like scared and nervous to like, what are my friends going to think of me? Like, I'm going to be the loner and the odd one out and everyone's going to kind of laugh, you know, like all of that. And it's like, she's actually the fucking leader. She's, and like, not in a, like in a very empowering way.
Yeah.
Like, and it's just like, what you just said, that's it.
Yeah.
Like you can open doors for your family, for your friends, for mm-hmm. everybody. Don't let those shit show thoughts that are like,
yeah,
oh, I don't know if we should do this or what people are going to think. And it's like, hold on. You get to be actually selfless when you make those personal choices.
Exactly. You're changing the entire world. Like, your one decision is going to send a ripple through, and we deserve that. We all deserve that. And it's time. It's time to send those ripples.
Oh, so good. Okay, Sam. So where can everyone follow and find you, all the places?
Absolutely. On Facebook and Instagram, it's just Matcha Nude. If you're on TikTok, it's I Love Matcha Nude, because someone already snagged it. MatchaNude.com is the website. We do have a Matcha 101 page on there with tons of resources. Our DMs on all of those things are always open. So if you have any questions or curious, please go on there. We do have a 2-week bag of matcha, so it has 15 to 20 servings, and it is just $15. It ships free. It is the most expensive per serving, but it does have the lowest investment, and it's risk-free. So if you buy it and you're like, I'm not done to do this, we'll send you your money back, because we believe that you deserve to try whatever could possibly help elevate your life, and we want to make it easy and simple for you. So we've got all those resources for you, and we love to have fun. We love to talk about our lifestyle. We like to talk about small business, and we're not just talking about matcha, although there is a lot of green on that page.
It just adds the color to all the things. It's so good. Amazing. Thank you, Sam, so much.
Thank you.